today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
You don't have to wait to Judgment Day to know where you're going. That's the beauty of this, isn't it? You don't have to wait to find out if the Lord on that day is going to say, you didn't make it. It's not how this goes. It's a smiling face on that day. It's a statement of come, receive the kingdom that has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world.
It is the hope that is laid out for us in John chapter 5 that we are looking at today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. The Lord of Life is the title of our message, John chapter 5, verses 23 through 29. This week is all about the challenges that swirl around us with this pandemic of the coronavirus and our response. Jesus gives us an out, if you will. Here's Pastor Chris with more.
He says, really clearly here, that what? Those who right now hear the word of God and understand it and believe it, that is evidence that Jesus, by the work of the Holy Spirit, has implanted life in your hearts. Now, back to my Staples Center for a minute. Michael Jordan spoke at the Staples Center. Here's what he said. It's an amazing thing about passion. If you love something, if you have a strong passion for something, you would go to the extreme to try to understand and get it. That's wonderful providence, by the way. Don't you agree that I get to preach this right now? If you have passion, you'll do everything to understand it and go get it. Either you're expecting something big, right? Ice cream, Cokes, hamburgers, whatever you have a love for. If you have to walk, you would go get it. If you have to beg someone, you would go get it. Kobe gave every last ounce of himself to whatever he was doing. And I admired him because of his passion. You rarely see someone who is looking and trying to improve with this kind of passion. People have passion for a lot of things in life, don't they? And they go get it. And they'll go after it with all of who they are. And that speech inspired everyone in the building that day. You should have seen the tears after he said that. And it was passion for everything that was wrong. What have we been seeing in John? John's gospel is life being given to people who were not full and had tried their passions, whose lives were empty, who were in desperate search to find satisfaction in life, and they never found it. Nicodemus tried to find it as a Pharisee in the first table of the law, which made him just a formalist. Not the second table. The woman at the well was trying to find it by craving men and finding identity with men, and she was jumping from well to well to well to well, and she was thirsty, but she was passionate. All of them wanting something. The man sitting at the pool, if I can just get in there, I'm here. I'll give everything I have on a bed 38 years just to get in that pool and be well. Passion. In the midst of this, here is Jesus, pursuing, finding, and giving life. I love this section because he is actually showing us what imparting life looks like in somebody. He's teaching us of what his life looks like in somebody. This greatly affected the Apostle John. I'll show you that in a minute. But I want you to notice here that this is what's happened. In the last section, you saw the life. You saw what it looked like. What did life look like? What did true passion look like? True passion looked like this. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. He is our passion now." How do you miss in the scriptures all over the place that this is what the Lord is showing you. You need him. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalm 63. I am the vine. You are branches, and I am pumping life into you. That's how you live. You see, what Jesus is describing is nothing else can do this. I mean, you can go down your passions and your idols and the things that you run to find, try to find relief today, and they don't do it. It doesn't provide this. It doesn't satisfy, not the alcohol, not the sex, not the money, not all the securities that you have in the world. They don't supply it. Nothing can. And Jesus is showing us here that he can. It's so powerful that in John chapter 7, he comes into the temple, and I can't even imagine hearing this as he stands there and cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Who says these things? You ever heard anything like that? And I love what then verse 25 is showing us, that he's saying, I want you to know. And so that all generations would study this and understand what that life looks like in people, he says something so encouraging to us right now in verse 25, where he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." That is not talking about the final resurrection. It is an implication. It's not what he just said. He just said, this is right now that I am imparting life. It's a wonderful verse. I was moved so much by that verse, that you're really living right now. This is what Revelation 20 talks about when it says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is Ephesians 2. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, he made alive. He's saying that life comes right now in your lives. The hour has come that the Son of Man is speaking. And when the Son of Man speaks, he summons. And you know what happens when he summons? This is Ezekiel. This is the Valley of Dry Bones. This is Son of Man prophesy to these bones. Prophesy to these bones and rattle them, and flesh will come on them, and they'll get up and they'll live. Right now, the Son of God's voice is penetrating into very hard hearts. So I'm sitting here right now, and he can give life. I've seen this in you. This is one of the great joys of ministry, by the way. This is one of the great joys of ministry. The hard part is sometimes for you to realize you have that life. And that's what the Bible teachers are helping you to understand and see about yourselves. I've had a call, even in this series, from a dear member, and he said, "Pastor, I've been listening to John 4, and I've been listening to the woman at the well over and over. And I got to say, I've had many idols in my life. I've had a lot of other fountains, and I want you to know I'm putting them away." The word has created life. Isn't that beautiful? I've seen it in the young adults here. I've been amazed at all the pressures today to do everything contrary and try to entertain them to death. I've seen response in the young adults, and the beauty of it is they're gathering, they're talking about the word, and they're helping one another. I've seen it in the older generation. I don't have to mention Elko, but I will, who would love to be here right now. How many say, I could never imagine missing church in their old age? That's life. These are some of the strongest statements on assurance that you get in the scriptures right here. John wanted Christians to understand this so much, and he was so worried. In a little epistle, he made this the whole focus of his little epistle, that people would know that they have life from Jesus and believe that they have life from Jesus. He says this 13 times in that little 1 John, he mentions life. And here's what he says. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He never wanted people going through this life as believers, living as if God hasn't given them life. In fact, John took this little statement of Jesus here, and this is, we're in the heart of the second point, if you're trying to take notes, I apologize. We're in the heart of the second point, the evidence of life. You'll notice here, Jesus says, whoever hears and believes has eternal life and is passed from death to life. John grabbed that. He says, I really want Christians to know that they have passed from death to life. How do they know that they've passed from death to life? 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life. We know. Because we love the brethren. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. The happiest people are those who love and love one another. And when I see that love in the church and I see the sacrificial love of the people of God to one another, you know that's all evidence of life in that place? It's not in the greatness of the band. It's not in the greatness of how you feel. It's in the greatness of your sacrificial love. That's life. That's the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest evidences of life is the love I see in this place. And I see it. Jesus says one of the most wonderful things here, he who hears and believes the word has everlasting life. And then he says this, here's the consequence of that. You shall not ever, ever, ever come into judgment, but you've passed from death to life. Listen, if this life has been planted in you, evidence being you hear the word and believe the word, and it shows itself in a love for that word, a love to worship the Lord, a love to be among the saints, not to be distant from them, you will never come into judgment. That's the best news I could ever announce today. Judgment's over. You understand that? Sometimes people wrestle with what's going to happen on the last day, and am I going to have to give account of my sins? Hold this. You'll never come into judgment. He just said it. You'll never come into judgment. You'll never stand before the judgment seat of Christ to have to answer for your sins in judgment, ever. When you have life, it's over. That's the free gift. And I think that motivates a lot of loving in the body of Christ. But back to the context of this. Before him are his own, and what are they doing? Not hearing or believing. Pharisees want to kill him for telling a man to take up his bed on the Sabbath. When you have a church full of people with no life, you know what the fruit is? This. Arguing over the minutest points of the law and crushing people. Fighting. Disgruntlement, complaining, bitter spirits, hatred, lack of forgiveness, enmity, strife, dissensions, all which is followed by no hearing of the word. You know, look over at verse 38 for a moment. We'll get there. Jesus says this so plainly, but you do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. So there's the issue. The word is not abiding. And then he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You think it's about just being a moral good person. But these are the things that testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. This is all over John 5, isn't it? The word has no place in you. That's the big key to all of this. At the end of the day, there will always be people in the kingdom who won't come to Jesus for life, and who are not very interested in his word. And with everything I have, with everything of I am as a pastor, I say, why would you not come to him? It's a marvel. What ties them to the kingdom if they don't love God's word and won't hear it and aren't hungry for it? What ties them to it? So I believe Jesus, what he's doing here is having believers and non-believers think about the outcome of their response to him now. And that's where we're closing today. What is the outcome of response to him? Jesus says the most serious thing ever in the Gospels, I think. It's a beautiful statement and simultaneously a scary statement. For those hearing, there's wonderful news. For those believing, there's wonderful news. For those not, there's really bad news. Are you ready to die? Are we so soon to die? In the midst of this, Jesus says something that I believe was meant to press them a little bit, a lot. He says in verse 27, and the Father has given him authority, the Son, to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Isn't it interesting? He says, Son of Man, right there. The Jews knew just what he claimed. He claimed Daniel 7. He claimed Daniel 7. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then he was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and language should worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. I watched until thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. By the way, this is the description of Jesus in Revelation 1. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Jesus grabs it. And he says, listen, you're playing with fire if you won't come to me for life. Because the Son of Man has the authority to execute judgment. Can you imagine the shock on their faces when he claimed Daniel 7 that day? And then Jesus, where we're closing today, says this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Everyone's going to hear that voice. And they're going to come forth. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. You know, everyone's getting up. Moses is getting up out of the grave, wherever his body is. Paul, Abraham, Caesar Augustus, Napoleon, Kobe and Gianna. Everyone's getting up. His voice is so powerful that when he speaks, as he did at creation, your bodies come back together and a divide is made. Those who literally performed worthlessness, who wasted their lives in worthless living, who squandered everything they were given, never did anything but serve the self, are rising with a body to the resurrection of condemnation. They will be given bodies for that place. Those found in Jesus, those who believe and hear the word, characterized as good because they have life. I just described what that good life looks like. Who have been filled with his life and have passed from death to life and have been justified by faith are given resurrected bodies to go forever to be with the Lord in a place that you have can't even begin to imagine how wonderful that's going to be. And you're going to get the earth back. Did you know that? You're going to get the earth back. There's going to be no more sickness. There's going to be no more sin. No one's going to be evil. You're not going to have to lock doors at night. Everything's going to be new. That's what he came to do. That's what the Sabbath's all about. He came to fix this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment at the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. This is what he came to do. To give it back. To give you back what all the life you're searching for. And you don't have to wait to judgment day to know where you're going. That's the beauty of this, isn't it? You don't have to wait to find out if the Lord on that day is going to say, you didn't make it. It's not how this goes. It's a smiling face on that day. It's a statement of, come, receive the kingdom that has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. That's his free gift. Does the word have a place in you today? Does the word of God have a place in you. If Christ came to condemn the world right now, it would already be over. But you're here. I'm here. And look how patient he's been with us. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you would have life in his name. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words, and thank you for encouraging us in them. Yes, some of the most sober, serious words in all of Scripture, and yet the most freeing words in Scripture. Thank you for the free gift. And thank you that you didn't leave it to us to figure this out or to find this out, for we cannot hear or believe apart from your grace. So pour out your grace upon everyone here. And would everyone respond with believing hearts. And knowing the terror of God, we persuade men so that they would escape the coming judgment and know today your everlasting love and favor, having passed from death to life today. Hear us, O Lord. If anyone does not believe here, work powerfully by your Holy Spirit to plant life in that heart. Only you can do it. And we're thankful that you care to speak the word that we might hear and live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We do serve the Lord of life. No matter what goes on around us, what trials we might face, pandemics we might live through, at the end of the day, we still serve a risen God who rules and reigns over all of life. And that is what we've seen today quite clearly here in John chapter 5, verses 23 through 29. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, we invite you to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the program. Maybe you'd like to listen to the broadcast again. Any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a quick praise report saying thanks for the program. That means a great deal to us. You reach out to us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online, again, agradio.org, that'll also provide a great jumping-off point to the other platforms that we're available on, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, you can jump off to any of those platforms through our website, agradio.org. If you do have a question you would like Pastor Chris to address here on the program, we would invite you to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when the program airs, so you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer again right here on Abounding Grace Radio. And then, finally, as we conclude our time today, a quick reminder that this radio broadcast airs on this station you're listening to because friends of the ministry come alongside of us prayerfully and financially. There is a financial cost to making sure that these programs continue to air here on this station. And if you would like to link arms and partner with us, become a part of this family, we would love to hear from you. Again, reach out to us at agradio.org or simply call 888-504-8805. Well, as we come to the end of our time today, let's return the microphone once again to Pastor Chris as we close out with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful. Where do we begin to say thank you? We confess what we are, confess what we've done. We delivered up the Son of God, and you want us to have peace. May that peace be alive in us. May we believe you. May we respond in thanksgiving. May we love you with a sincere heart all of our life. And thank you for being so long-suffering and patient with wretches like us. And thank you for your love in restoring us and renewing us and making us a new creation to look a lot like Jesus and how we now love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.